Babel, Pras, Yavon,
Edom,
and Yavon.
Persia, yeah? Yavon and Edom. Yeah. So, Yorgadaya brings down that against the four Malkus also are, at least the first three, the three sins were errors for which a person should, Chalila, put down their life rather than do. What are those three sins? What are those three of errors?
Odovara.
Yiliraias, what else?
Avodovara.
Presumably, according to the Yorgadaya, I think Edom somehow combines all three. But according to the Peshbon that the Yorgadaya brings down, Yavon is connected to Shrivas Damin, which is very bizarre, no? Shrivas Damin implies, you know, I would have thought Shrivas Damin would be connected to Edom. Think of the violent savagery of Edom. What's particular about Yavon? Why is it so strange that Shrivas Damin would be associated with Yavon? Philosophers don't carry knives, do they? They're not dangerous, are they? But why would, if Sari is right to suggest in some sense that Yavon is associated with philosophy, then why would the Zohar Kodesh actually associate Yavon with Shrivas Damin? In fact, even more so than that, what's distinctive about Galus Yavon? What makes Galus Yavon different? Manishtana. Why is Galus Yavon different? What?
They weren't trying to kill us.
They weren't trying to kill us. And what else? We were, I mean, that's a strange Galus. A Galus when we're actually in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? How is that possible? How can there be a Galus when we're actually in the place? Not only were we in Eretz Yisrael, what else was there? Now we're in Eretz Yisrael also. Still, obviously, a Galus. Yeah?
Now, this also begs the question. Still, you have to ask the question, why is Yavon associated with Shvifas Damin?
Are philosophers really that dangerous? No. Next question. If I want to know about, we all think of Purim and Hanukkah together for obvious reasons. If I want to know about Purim, where can I? What text can I consult? Oh, so the first place on those is the Testament. What else? What other texts might be available? So there's also Mishnah, right? There's also the Gemara. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of texts. What about Hanukkah?
Gemara.
This Gemara Shabbat. Can somebody bring me a Gemara Hanukkah, please?
Finchah.
Alright, so one second. What's that? So that's perfect, not? So Chazal didn't actually. Good, no, that's good. It's actually interesting. But Chazal didn't actually put. They didn't include that. They didn't canonize that. No. So we can't bring it. We can't bring a Masechus Hanukkah. So I'm not sure what your name is. Alamis. Alamis is always in Shabbos. So this is a special parak in Shabbos. My Hanukkah. What part is it? Oh, it's not. So we know that Hanukkah. So we know that in Bama Malikim there is a discussion of Hanukkah, but it's really Derech Adar. The Medrash that compares Purim and Hanukkah, and it says the Medrash ends by saying the Hanukkah lo bal nirtov. Hanukkah was not something that came to be written down. So why is that? Why is Hanukkah a holiday
in which we don't really have so much writing?
So that's our second question. Anybody want to answer that one? No? Fine. Good. On the top of the handout that I gave you is the famous Rambam. Somebody want to ask somebody to read the Hebrew text for us? Would somebody like to volunteer? Volunteers? Yes. What's your name?
Mina.
Sorry?
Mina.
Yeah.
Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva, Hi Ad Me'ot.
So you experts in the Lashonos of the Rambam, what's so extraordinary about this text of the Rambam? What distinguishes this text? People talk about the Rambam, let's say the Rambam versus Hasidim, or the Rambam versus people who have to spend a lot of time on mystical things. How do people talk about the Rambam? Well, firstly, he doesn't have extra words. And here, are there any extra words? Chaviv Ad Me'od. It's a strange lashon for the Rambam, right? I mean, the Rambam is very often referred to, especially in university circles, the kind of things. One example in this university is not entirely wrong. The Rambam is a kind of super rational.
either Jew nor Greek.
No, we're skipping for the month.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, speak unto Aaron, it's okay, we translate, and say unto him, and the light is the lamp, the seven lamps which you light over the candlestick. Rashi says on the spot that the reason that Aaron is getting the candlestick, is getting the mitzvahs of mitzvah there, is that Shevet Levi was excluded from the gifts of the Nesiim to the Mishkan, and Aaron wanted his help, he wanted his portion, so what is he given? He's given Ner Kamah, he's given the Ner. What precisely is this Ner? We'll see in a second. The Medrash comes to explain the pasuk. Mina, can we ask you to continue?
Sure. Okay.
This is Klal Yisrael now. The Medrash is imagining a dramatic dialogue between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael talks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Okay. Atah zan et kol ha'olam.
What does that mean? You sustain it the whole world.
V'atam tzaveh otan la'kriv et korbani lachmi atah me'ir la'kol ha'olam v'atam tzaveh la'alot ner tamid. Anu b'orcha ner'a or v'ata omer ladlik niru. Amar Rabbi Meir, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu.
I want to have a little bit more dramatic delivery. Anu b'orcha nira or v'ata omer ladlik niru. You're asking us to light candles? What? Yeah, Amar Rabbi Meir, go ahead, Nira.
Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, chaviv alai niru sha'aro madlik min ha'me'oro shekavati v'shamayim.
So isn't that strange? Aram. Shevet Levi says, it's me, it's Pella. Why do you need us to light candles? We live in your light. The Kaddish Baruch Hu says back to them, your light is better, it's more chavit to me. Maybe that's what the Rambam is saying in Russian. Your light is more chavit to me than the lights that I've established in that career. More than the stars, the sun, the moon. Why would that be? Why is the Ner here, the Ner Talmud? Why is the Ner Talmud considered to be a light which is so much greater than the light? Next Medrash. Just at the end, we'll pick it up because I really want to look at how the Ramban deals with the Medrash. You see the bold type on the bottom of the next Medrash. Medrash Tanchum of Barakat. Okay. Aval Aneres le'alam almul kamei amenor. Bechol abrocha shemtati lechal lebarak esbeni einu b'talim le'arlam. So the Medrash comes and describes the pasuk of which we just spoke, and it says the Neros of which I'm commanding you today, they will exist. Word in the Medrash is le'olam. They will exist forever. So the Ramban seems to be going, as we'll see in a second, the Ramban will go based upon the Medrash. It's going to go against the Pashtus of the Pashtus that we just looked at. The Pashtus is we're talking about the Ner Talmid. We're talking about what was the gift that Aaron got. The gift that Aaron got was the Ner Talmid of the Mishkan. Let's see how the Ramban reads it. Regrettably, I don't have the Hebrew. My English is great. Thank you, Hashem, for my mother tongue. I'll try to read it. The intention of this homiletic text is to derive an allusion from this section of the Torah, the Chanukah of Lights, which occurred in the period of the Second Temple by Hashem, through Aaron and his son, namely the Chanukah. And I've gone further. The Medrash Rabbah, quoting on Medrash, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, go and tell Aaron, fear not, you are designated of something of greater importance to me than this. Offerings are brought only as long as the sanctuary is in existence. But the lamps will give light in front of the menorahs forever. What's the Hebrew term there in the Ramban is sitting on, focusing on? Will give light in front of the menorahs forever. Le'olam, right? How is the Ramban shifting from the Pashtus, the Ner Talmid, to all of a sudden this pasuk is Meramis to Hanukkah? What gives the Ramban the license to do this? I was giving a shiur like this at Bar Ilan to some of my students, and whether you know this or not, at Bar Ilan, you know, it's not like an all religious university. Any Bar Ilan students here? No? You going to Bar Ilan next year? No? Oh, yeah. Oh, good. See you next year. Where are you going next? Where are you all? You're applying to university now this year? Huh? You're applying to the... No? No. Oh, Baruch Hashem, you're learning. Good. Wonderful. Maybe we'll talk about university some other time. Actually, we are talking about university now, aren't we? Yalvan, right? Right? Galus Yalvan? Hainu? University? There are. I'm shocked. Which one? Everybody's going to Stern, right? Oh, Baruch Hashem. Yeah? Any place else?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Columbia? University of Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Huh?
London.
So maybe we'll talk more about the university some other time. But this is really a framework to talk about the university. It's really example of that in Purim. All the other holidays we celebrate, especially Yom Tov, what is one way in which we actually manifest our celebration? How do we objectify our celebration?
Suda.
Through Suda, right? We do it always through Suda, right? What's funny about Hanukkah? Marmi Rottenberg brings down, the Beis Yosef brings it down. He says, there on Hanukkah, what do we do on Hanukkah? How do we manifest? This is a Shalomim crowd, we'll see the term of old age. How do we objectify our subjective state of simcha? How do we do it on Hanukkah? Pardon? We usually do it through eating. What did you do this morning during davening? Hallel and Hodah. The normal way that we objectify simcha is through food. Hanukkah, believe it or not, there's a Jewish holiday which is not associated with eating. Hard to believe, right? Jews actually can celebrate without food. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that you actually can make the Sudas Hanukkah. How do you do it? You actually have to say the Brit Torah. Once you say the Brit Torah, then the food actually can have din the Sudas Mitzvah. Yeah. So why is that? Well, let's think about the contrast with Purim again. What's the distinction between Purim and Hanukkah? It's an interesting contrast, right? What did Haman want? First of all, what was the Avera, or the series of Averas, that brought upon the wrath of Haman? What did the Jews do wrong? So the Averas, or the transgressions of the time of Purim, had to do with the actual eating. The Avera during the time of Purim was with what? What? The group, the body. So what did Haman try to do then?
Destroy the group.
He actually tried to kill the Klal Yisrael, that is, to eliminate their bodies. And what is our celebration once we actually triumph over Haman? We celebrate with our bodies. The Avera is with the group, the possible onesh, which Haman is an agent for the horrible. Sending the money. So the possible onish is through the group. The celebration is with the group. How about Hanukkah? How does it compare? What was the reason for which there was the Messiah and the Galus of Yahweh? Why did it come about? two brachot, which help us understand the means through which Yavam tried to undermine the special status of the Bar Yisrael. The bracha of the Rosh Hashanah, the bracha of the man says when he gets called to Torah, Asher, Shabbat, Hashem who chose us. The second bracha after the reading of the Torah is Asher, Nasamon, the one who chose us and the one who gave us the Torah. It says Rav Hutner, Asher Bachrabano is the special mitzvahs by which Klal Yisrael distinguishes themselves. That is, Asher Bachrabano is mitzvot. Asher Nasamon is what? Yes. Nasamon es ha. So Yavam tried to undermine the special status of Klal Yisrael. One, through undermining Jewish practice, mitzvot, and the second, through undermining Jewish commitment to Torah. Asher Bachrabano. So tell me, guys, pardon the expression, what were the particular mitzvahs that we know Yavam tried to undermine? What were they?
Mm-hmm.
sanctify the body. We makadish the guf. We render the guf holy. So that the Greeks can't really deal with. They live in a world which is entirely based upon the material. And when they do philosophize, they philosophize in academies, which has nothing to do with physical reality. That is, the Greek philosopher pulls outside of the material world. He says, I'm beyond all of that. And he thinks and contemplates. We actually say there's a relationship between our notions of Kedusha and Ruchnius, and those notions of Kedusha and Ruchnius can actually be embodied in discipline. The Greeks, A, don't believe in notions of Ruchnius. They believe in a conception of the ideal. That conception of the ideal, however, is completely removed from the discipline. What do? We do from Isaac Bris Mila, we take the physical and we sacrifice. We say the physical itself can be a mock of Kedusha. That's what you're saying, yeah? How does it follow also from, what about Shabbos? Does Shabbos also fit within that paradigm? What does paradigm mean? Does Shabbos also fit within that model?
Yes.
How?
Well, it's taking like the physicality of the week and it's making it spiritual.
Because we know Shabbos is an alamada. So we know the 6 days of Maisa Bereshis is Teva. With Shabbos, we testify every week that there's something beyond Teva. And that, similarly, Teva itself can be rendered kosher, can be sanctified. What about Rosh Chodesh? Different conceptions of time, right? How do you guys think about time? There are different kinds of notions of time. Did anybody read Macbeth in high school?
Yeah.
Anybody memorize lines from Macbeth? Remember tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow? How does it go on? Shall I get the guys know? Tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow. Saturated or sanctified with Ruchnius. So all three.
Yisrael of the Reformed Church, the Am Yisrael of Martin Luther, of England in the 17th century, of America in the 17th and 18th century. The Am Yisrael of Adam is, yes, there is one nation in the world that has a special relationship to Hashem. It used to be Israel, but now we are Israel. So, the Roman Catholic Church, of course, is Adam. Why is it that Adam can't tolerate the presence of Klal Yisrael in Israel? Because they're taking our place. We are Israel. Martin Luther says in his translation of the Old Testament that he made Moses so German that nobody would recognize him as a Jew. Have you heard that before? That is, Luther wants to obliterate, and that's the end or aim of Edom, to obliterate the existence of the Jews because they claim they are the Jews. How is the Am Yisrael of the Greeks different? How is it different? That's the Am Yisrael of Edom. How is the Am Yisrael of the Greeks different? The We Are Israel of Yahweh is based upon blurring all distinctions between cultures into a universalism in which Jews are Greeks and Greeks are Jews. That's what the Apostle Paul says. There is no distinction. We are all Israel. We are all chosen people. These are claims that insist upon undermining the distinctions between Jews and the nations. Torah in translation becomes simply a book. What's the difference between thinking of Torah as a Masorah and Torah as a book? What's the difference between reading a Torah or going to the library and taking Torah off the shelf in the religion section, or taking the Old Testament off the shelf in the religion section, and experiencing Torah? For more forcefully put, what's the difference between study and learning? When you go to the university, or in high school, you study texts. How is studying different than learning? Maybe that would get a distinction between Torah as part of the Torah and the book. Yeah? Anything else? Yes, Sharon? I think that's a little bit of what Karina is saying as well. That is, when I'm studying in the library, I'm really unattached. That's one of the real examples of being in university, is it creates an attitude, a form of engagement which is one of attachment. I'm standing outside of the text. That's what the Greeks are all about. The Greeks are all about philosophical universalism. I'm detached from the world. I exist, the ivory tower, contemplative academy. I exist in the realm of contemplation. What does Torah require? Torah requires that I actually place myself in relationship, not only with other people, not only to Hashem, but to the text. The text is talking to me. What does that necessarily mean? It's not something that I can just happily maintain my external form. It's something that's going to make a demand to me internally. The Greeks turned Torah into a book that can be gazed upon from the outside. I can look at it from the outside, I can control it from the outside, I can seemingly, as Karen said earlier, I can understand it. We know, however, are Jews, by the way, are we the people of the book? Of the book?
No.
I'm going on to say about us. Are we the people of the book? So I'm asking you, is that accurate? Are we happy with that? And people call me all sorts of things. I'm happy with some of them, not happy with others. Are we happy to all be open to
those?
Yeah. We live our life by the Torah. So in that sense, it's accurate. Are there any ways in which we might not be so happy with that designation?
Calling it a book.
What?
Calling it a book.
Yeah. The book is exactly, something which is external, yes? Yeah, I know that they can't hear you. Tzion, probably sitting right behind me can't hear you. Just play a little bit louder here. Okay, so what would be better? So we're not the people of the book, then what are we?
We live it.
So we, again, Hashem speaks to the Greeks, he says to them, you have no shaylos to my mysteries. You have to understand mystery, or sodot, rather. You have no shaylos to my sodot. You'll understand it in your own times, because you will forever be distant from the Torah. That is, the mysteries of the sodas of the Torah belong to Klal Yisrael. How are those mysteries revealed? You said earlier, Karen, how do we see the complexity of the Torah as a living organism, as something that we live and continually interpret? How do we see that? We see that as the Torah is all that. In that sense, perhaps you can answer one of the questions that we asked from the very beginning. Why is it that Hanukkah is not a holiday that needs to be written down? Because Hanukkah is a holiday of Torah Shabbat Peg, a holiday which is based upon the pneumius of ourselves and the pneumius of Torah, revealing the internal aspects of Torah. That is just, again, the Shutasa, just as the Greeks claim that the natural world was all there was, just as they emptied out the Beit HaMikdash and they left the internal part of the Beit HaMikdash, the Nemes of the Beit HaMikdash, something that was left empty, just as they emptied out the Nemes, the Nefesh of the Yid, what did they try to do with Torah? To take out this Nemes. Torah Shabbat Peh and our rededication to Torah Shabbat Peh is a rededication to the pnimius of Torah, that there is something mi'al patel, there is something beyond the externality of the universe. The Greeks tried to declare a victory not only over individual Jewish bodies, but over all Klal Yisrael. We asked the question to start out, why is it that Shmita's dominance is associated with Yahweh? They didn't try to kill anybody. What did they try to do? To obliterate Klal Yisrael. What's dom in the Torah? Nefesh. The Shmita's dominance of Yahweh was not the Shmita's dominance of killing individual people. It was rather obliterating Klal Yisrael forever. What were some of the other questions that we asked? We'll get to the in a second. The Yizrach Lov. What is it about the special lights of Hanukkah that get us through our exile? After the Korban of the Beis HaMikdash, how is it that the Neros of Hanukkah provide a consolation to us? And what is that consolation? So finally we get to our first question. What is so chaviv about the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah? Based upon our approach today, did somebody suggest what is so chaviv about the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah? We've seen that the Greeks consistently, both the Gabi mitzvahs and the Gabi Torah, try to take the external form and leave that and enter the internal. To insist that all there is perfect.
Has Ner Hanukkah
existed
all
their tried to prove their attack on Jewish practice and through their attack on Jewish Torah to leave only the external form what coincides with their conception of nature, the laws of nature. So my question is, the light. Rather, the light in the Beis HaMikdash is first of mind to all on earth that the Shekhinah rests in Klal Yisrael. How do I know that the Shekhinah rests in Klal Yisrael? Light. Where does that light dwell? In the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Once is the Korban Beis HaMikdash. What's left? How do I know that, where is the testimony that the Shekhinah, that the Kedusha lies within the material bounds of Klal Yisrael? Where do those lights rest? Where are they? That is Kedusha, the locus, or the place of Kedusha used to be the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. You don't have to. Maril said, Yisrael lo Hashem, that the ultimate salvation of Klal Yisrael rests in the Hanukkah candle. Not only for the times of Yavan, but the time of Edom. We're past Galus Yavan. It's the Galus of Edom. How do the Hanukkah candles sustain us now? Where do they sustain us? The Baal HaTorim brings down, we mentioned the fourth Gezer of Yavan. They close the Mikdash. The Baal HaTorim brings down that one of the Nisim of Hanukkah, did you know this? Was that every house had its own Mikdash. Every house suddenly became a place which generated its own purity. Where is the locus now? Traditional locus is Latin for place. Where is the place now for Kedusha? Where does Kedusha lie? Before the Korban Beis HaMikdash, it obviously lies in Kedusha. Where does it lie? This will be the last test from Rabbi Hirsch. When the Hasmonim celebrated their last Hanukkah, they placed the lamps of consecration into the hands of every Jewish family. The consecration of every Jewish family, of course, within the Baal HaTorim, but also is made possible now through the replenishment of the possibility again of Jewish family purity. So that the consecration begun with the rededication of the temple, the Hanukkah Sabbais, might be truly completed in the Jewish home. And that this consecration might be repeated year after year with ever-renewed inspiration. You might wonder in our days, when we suffer the galus of Edom, and that galus includes all of the other galus within them, how do we actually testify to the special status of Klal Yisrael? How do we testify to the notion that nature is not what the Greeks say it is? We don't live in a binary world, in a world of two things, where there's the world of contemplation on the one hand and the world of physicality on the other. Rather, we live in a world where there is a world of physicality, but we can take that physicality and raise it up. What testifies to that? Where is the place? Hanukkah is not only a holiday which celebrates the untranslatable kochos, the Torah Shabbat Peh, which realizes and reveals what Torah is. Hanukkah is also a holiday which celebrates the Jewish home. It is Hanukkah that celebrates a holiday, or marks a holiday, in which we see that the locus or place of Kedusha is the house. The candles that we light side outside of our homes testify that our homes are, as they like to say in America, sacred places, sacred spaces. How do I make a sacred space? I'm sure there are 25 incidents I can devote to it. How do I make a sacred space? Light